Hey everyone, I hope you're all doing great today and I hope you enjoyed this story. If you want early access to my videos or to support me generally, make sure you check out my Patreon and make sure you check out my podcast in the description below. I hope everyone has a great week and takes care. I'll speak to you all soon. For some information about me, I am American. I was born in America, but my father's from Norway, so that means that I spend half my time in America, where I work as a park ranger, and whenever I get a chance, I love to go back to Norway. Specifically, I live in a place called Bergen, which is really beautiful. Well, half live there, should I say. Now, in America, I live in a state that has beautiful national parks and forests everywhere. It's my favourite place to be. Now, there was one particular time about 10 years ago that I was back in vacation in my lovely Norway, and I was having a really good time visiting my friends and relatives. Now, a friend of mine was asking many questions about my job in America and what I have to do for this. He just said he finds it fascinating and it would be a job that he'd love to do. He kept on going on about it, so I said, "Hey," in my friend's name, "why don't we go out to a hike one day and maybe go camping together?" He absolutely loved the idea and jumped up for it. Now, we decided that it'd be best if we went camping, but we would just hike out to the area first to get an idea of where we wanted to go and to see how my friend was being out there in the cold. He again was very excited about this, and so we picked a date and set off. Now, the area we went to is truly picturesque. There was snow falling everywhere, and you could see that the tracks hadn't been trodden very much by other people. We started off in an area that's pretty well travelled, meaning you can see other people have been here before, but none today at least. My friend said that for someone who's lived in Norway most of their life, he really hasn't been out in nature enough, and I laughed and agreed. And we just talk about life generally, and he has lots of different questions for me. I decide that it'd be a good idea if we walk off onto one of the paths that actually goes away from where most people travel. The trees are a little bit more lower hanging now, and you have to be careful not to walk into things, but I say that I'm going to lead the way, and my friend is really happy and excited to see everything. There's some snow falling off the tree, which kind of makes it look like there's snow falling to your left as we enter, and it's really beautiful. We have to duck down for a little bit, which kind of hurt my back because there's some fallen trees that we pass over, and we have to be careful not to get wet because we don't want to get cold out here. Surprisingly, you can see that somebody's been on this track before, which is quite interesting because I've actually been on here before and not encountered anyone. Not to worry, we continue ahead and eventually make it towards somewhat of a clearing with a beautiful stream that runs next to us. My friend keeps on talking and talking, and I remind him that he's got to keep up some of his energy because we've got the hike back, and we both laugh about it. We decide to stop for a while and stand next to the stream. My friend keeps on commenting how beautiful it is and how quiet it is out here, and I tell him I really know, and this is why I love my job so much when I'm in America, and he has lots of different questions about it. He does ask me what's anything scary that's happened to me being out there in nature before, and I say, well, not too many things really, but there's one story that I shared with him that I'd like to share with you all briefly. So, I was stationed out in my area that I have to cover, and everything was normal. I was just doing one of my regular patrols. Now, while I set out, I kept on getting a report of a truck driving round, and it 100% should not have been. That's because we were permitted to drive in certain areas, and nobody else was, so we knew that somebody was up to something. There was a chance that somebody was hunting games who wasn't supposed to be over there, and that didn't sit well with us, so I was keeping an eye out for this. Almost expecting to find nothing, I'd let my mind drift to elsewhere actually thinking of Norway and coming back on this trip at the time. Now, I didn't see much of anything for the first few days, until eventually I did see a truck, and I thought, this is interesting. Thinking it was one of the other Rangers trucks, I didn't think too much of it. And it turned out that was the case. It actually was. I continue onwards, and I don't think much of it. I actually forgot about it for a couple of hours until I see the same truck once again. It's very similar to our ones. That's when I realised that it's not actually one of our trucks, and I'm somewhat annoyed at myself for not checking earlier. I can see somebody sitting in it, and they have a hat which is similar to ours, so I just presume that maybe it was one that I haven't seen before, and that maybe it's just my mind playing games with myself. I decide that it's good if I go and investigate, and at least then I can put a decent report in and solve this thing, and get back to more pressing issues. I can still see somebody sitting there, so I call out to them, and wait for a couple of minutes, but there's no response. Thinking this is strange, I'm worried that something has happened to one of my fellow Rangers, so I quickly go to talk on the radio, but stop, thinking, if somebody's passed out and they need medical help, I'm not going to be much use if I'm just talking over a radio. So I slowly make my way over. Now something seems different. I don't know how to describe it. The lighting wasn't the best due to the covering of the trees, but something just appeared wrong with this situation. I decided to remain still for a while. This person definitely wasn't moving, and it didn't look like they were breathing, which made me panic a little bit. I now jogged over, and I realised something's off that stops me dead in my tracks. This isn't a person at all. It's a mannequin wearing almost an exact replica of the hats that we wear. Confused, I take a step back for a moment and look around trying to see somebody or anyone, but I can't find anything. I then radio in what's happening, and there's going to be another ranger who's going to check it out with me. I looked around the car to see if there was any signs of any other life, but there's literally nothing. Eventually backup arrives and I ask permission to open the truck and see what's happening. And it's granted, they just say proceed with caution. Now I actually put something in my hand to open the door, just in case somebody put like a small blade or something under the handle. I really didn't want that happening. So, I hesitantly go and open the door, and weirdly, lots of the console's been ripped out of the car. You can see this thing's basically been gutted, and there's no way that it's going to drive anywhere. There's nobody else around, and I decide to pop the trunk. I pull the lever that pops the trunk and nothing happens. I then go around the back, and me and my friend pry it open basically. And weirdly, there's a large teddy bear wearing another ranger hat there, staring back at us. Worried that maybe there's a bomb or something, we decide to suddenly sprint back at least 40 meters and call in some law enforcement to figure out exactly what this is. We waited for a good 2 hours before the police could actually arrive to give us some help, just because we're really out of the way and apparently actually got lost upon arrival. When they do arrive, they seem very suspicious of everything and wondered whether it was somebody really trying to have one over on us, but we think otherwise. They very cautiously prodded around and realised there was no bombs or explosives or anything, because truly this was looking like something out of some kind of movie. They gone over to the mannequin and took the hat off, and everything was as it seemed. They have no idea how the truck actually got here though, because there was no tracks around leading up to the thing, so how it got there is really beyond me, truthfully. Now, they did dust over everywhere, but strangely, they couldn't find any fingerprints whatsoever other than our own, where we had investigated. And it was one of the weirdest things that happened to me. How anyone or anything could have got the truck out there is beyond me. It would have A, made too much noise, or B, 100% left evidence, but C, there was nothing to actually get it there. There was no engine, so obviously it didn't come on its own power. Maybe, just maybe, it was a UFO that done it, but who knows. But why was there a mannequin in there? Why did it have the hats to accompany it, along with its friend in the boot? I won't know. I don't think I ever will, but it really scared me for a while. After sharing this with my friend, it was safe to say that he was very scared now, and pretty hesitant to actually go on. "Yeah, I probably shouldn't have told you that," I said to my friend, and he laughed and says, "No, I'm just kidding, buddy. I'm fine. Let's press on." And we continue onwards. Now, this part of the walk in the snow is again absolutely beautiful, and we're now approaching much larger trees. We go up to the bridge and we're just talking generally, and my friend keeps on asking me different questions about what's the most scary thing that's happened to me just in the woods generally. And I tell him that I've got one more story to share with him, but let's just appreciate how nice it is here first. And we continue onwards. Now, my friend stupidly gets very close to the edge of the bridge, and the beams aren't very high, and he kind of half slips in, but luckily slaps the ground and kind of stops himself. I'm not sure how he done it, but it's definitely a good thing, because I can't be bothered to drag him over to safety. To my left, I can see a beautiful stream, and this shoots off from the one that we're just on, and we continue up to a bigger bridge. I tell my friend, "Hey, please don't fall in this time, seriously. If you go in, I'm not going to be able to get you out easily." He laughs and continues very hesitantly. If you're going out on long hikes, especially in the snow with people that don't really go out in the outdoors often, it can be quite dangerous for them, and normal situations can sometimes become life-threatening. And that's what my friend was doing. He seemed so up for coming out here at first, but it's almost like now that he came out in the cold, he was having second thoughts, and 100% didn't want to be here with me. But that was fine and to be expected, I guess, and at least we wouldn't have to do the camping trip now. So we continue on. We keep moving up some steps and are now moving uphill, and my friend keeps on pestering me about my other strange forest story. I tell my friend that if I share this story with you, then please don't get too scared to not go on, because you seemed pretty scared before, and he laughs and says, "Yeah, don't worry, I won't." I say fine, and I start telling him my other story. Now, this one is from my childhood. This one again was actually in America, not over here, and was on a beautiful summer's day. On this particular day, I hung out with a group of friends. Now, all of us like to go out into the woods together. Now, mind you, we were very young, and we did live in quite a safe area, so our parents didn't have that much of a problem with us doing this, and we liked to play a game called Manhunt. Now, for those of you who don't know, basically, there's somebody who has to hunt, and the others have to hide. So, Manhunt, as the name suggests, except we were much younger to be considered men. So basically, the person who's gonna look for everybody else counts up to about 100, then shouts out Manhunt and runs around looking for everybody else. It's kind of silly thinking of it now, but at the time it was great fun, and we actually used to play this in school together, except the point that we'd all start at was basically just a bin, like the one you'd throw rubbish in. But on this particular day, there was another person there, so there was four of us in total plus this extra one. Nobody really seemed to know much about this other person. Apparently he was just playing on his own before, and some of the other group decided to invite him along. His clothes seemed somewhat different to all of ours and were actually a bit more dated than what we were wearing, and we didn't think too much of it, I guess just because we're quite young at the time. So we continued onwards, and he didn't really say too much about himself or why he was there, just that he'd only moved there recently. So I was one who had to go out looking for everybody. That was in the first game. All of the other kids run off, including the new one, and I start counting. Now, of course, I start counting very slowly, like I guess you're supposed to as a kid, and then I start very quickly once they can't hear me anymore. I probably did maybe 30 seconds of counting in total, but I think everybody else did. But I don't know, I had to win this game, you know? So, I look out calling Manhunt while I head off. Now, I decide to run very quickly for the first few seconds, and funnily enough, I found one of my friends instantly. He was basically hiding behind the tree next to the exact position that I'd started in. I laugh because he always does this, and I don't know why he never caught on to the fact that I would immediately find him. But I think he couldn't really be bothered to hide much, so I kind of respected that about him. Now, in our version of Manhunt, we're able to use the new people that we found as a part of the hunting squad. Obviously, that makes the game have increasing difficulty over time, and we set out trying to find our other friends. I decided that I had to go back to go grab some water, and I asked my friend that I've just found to go on further. I head back, and I can't believe it. Almost exactly in the same position as I caught the other friend, there's another one. I laugh and say, come on, couldn't you have found a better spot than that? And my friend then joins the search. Now, after not long, we find the other friend, so now there's only one more left, basically. So that means that there's three of us searching, with the fourth just joining us, meaning that there's only one person left to find, the new friend. Now, in this first game, I was the one looking for everyone, like I said, and in the second I was going to be hiding, so I was more looking forward to that because I just find it more fun. Now, all of us met up and said, we don't know where that new person's gone, and we actually got a little bit worried, thinking, imagine if we lost someone on the first day that we met them, wouldn't it be funny? So, we head off in different directions, all of us looking for the same new person, not really knowing his name, which actually makes finding him far harder. We searched and searched for what seemed like hours, what was probably only a number of minutes, and we couldn't seem to find him. We basically searched a very wide area, which is pretty much as far as you could search, and looked over every possible place that he could have been hiding in, and we couldn't find him at all. Thinking maybe he fooled a quick one on us and had just escaped back home, we decide that we shouldn't look much further, and think maybe he's just a bit weird and that's why he ran off. So all of us meet up again and decide what to do, thinking we should probably go home, but we should tell our parents that he might be lost out there, hoping maybe they know him. He also shared with us roughly where he lived too, so we knew we basically had to go back to our neighbourhood, then just down one road we'd be able to find his house, so that's what we do. We start walking back, and we're still looking for this person, but we can't find them, literally anywhere. It seems like no matter where we go, this kid is gone, so we just get back to our parents. We then go towards one of the houses who lives closest, and start talking to the mother there. We explain our game and say that we've met a new friend, but they've gone lost in the forest and not to worry about it. And as you can imagine, this mother, like any mother should do, got extremely worried and said, who is he? What does he look like? How long's he been out there for? And goes to sprint for the phone. We all look a little bit worried, thinking that we're going to be in big trouble now. And the mother seems very annoyed that we can't give many details. She then said, where does he live? And we explain and say the exact house that he's come from. The mother now puts the phone down and says, show me where. I mean, exactly where this house is. And we go off to show her. And exactly as it was described, near the neighborhood, then down a long road. We follow the mother down this road, and she seems to have some kind of energy. Not like it's angry, but kind of like a scared energy, which is quite hard to describe unless you've seen it. That's when we realize that this road leads to where a house used to be. The house is basically half ruined now, and there was a large fire many years ago. I mean, 50 years before our time. But it's weird because this is literally the exact spot that he said he lived in. And when the mother realizes this of one of the kids we're with, she goes very strange and almost looks like she's seen a ghost. She says, just go back, it's fine, I'll deal with this. and we all go back home and I didn't think much of it. It wasn't until a number of years later that I learnt, apparently, there used to be a young child that lived there, and a family, and unfortunately, he went missing after a fire that happened to burn the house down, and the family had never seen him since and eventually moved out of state. As I told my friend this story, he basically looked like he'd just seen a ghost too, and I understand why. I'm pretty convinced that what we encountered was some kind of recurring ghost that, you know, is kind of like a lost spirit out there. It's just going through the same thing again and again and never leaves, and it really made me believe in the paranormal. So anyway, my friend is now very scared, but I'd assure him that nothing's gonna happen and that we should just continue on our little hike, and he's much more quiet now, which I guess for me is quite a good thing really, because I actually was a little bit annoyed that he kept on asking me things and I couldn't really enjoy my time too much. So anyway, we continue on the hike and the cold Nordic air is starting to pierce through our clothes a little bit because we've been static just talking, and I know now that we should probably head back. So we start our walk and we go past the same tree that had blocked us before that we had to duck under. We come up to the same bridge again and we just start talking about different things now. Now we're actually both quite tired, and I decide that it's going to be a good idea if we stop for a little while and drink some tea. I have a couple of biscuits and other things with me, which basically are a lifesaver when you're out here and starting to feel cold. So we have a tea break, and we're just relaxing generally. While we're drinking the tea, I can hear laughter, and I tell my friend to knock it off. It's not like his normal laugh, and I haven't said anything funny. It's kind of like a maniacal laugh, but more animalistic. My friend looks at me, still with tea in his mouth, and I realise something's up. For the next 5 seconds, we hear a cackly kind of laugh just off in the distance, echoing off of the valleys around us, which is extremely bizarre. A, because we've not seen anybody whatsoever on our trip, and B, because why would there be laughter out here like this? Maybe it was some animal that we hadn't seen. We both agree that it's probably an animal, but it seems really bizarre. Unfortunately, it's basically the only path we can take to get back to civilization, and we don't really have the option to go through the trees because the terrain's very treacherous beyond the path. So we decide to give it some time so whoever this maniac is can just get out of the way. We then decide that after a few minutes we should press on. I decide to take the lead, not because I was feeling brave, just because I didn't have a choice really, because my friend is basically frozen there. I keep telling him, come on, we've got to get a move on and just solve this and get back. I'm sure it's nothing, it's probably just a person, don't worry. And we continue down a small ridge. While walking down the ridge, we've realised that up ahead is a person. They're dressed in pretty much all black, but their clothes seem to be one piece, if that makes sense. So like they're wearing some strange overalls, and they're kind of gliding through the snow ahead of us. They're going pretty quick and keep disappearing over different hills and beyond the tree line. We decide to walk much more slower now just to let them go ahead. I don't know if you've ever experienced that, but you know when somebody's acting a bit strange ahead of you, and if you slow down you can create distance? Well, that's what we're doing, and we decide to stop on another bridge. We finish off the rest of the tea, and we don't hear any more laughter this time, so we just start to crack jokes about who this person was or what they were doing. And I start pretending they were laughing at my friend for being so scared of the stories. Feeling more confident now, my friend walks ahead of me and actually leads the way back, which I was pretty impressed by. We're coming up to an area that has a little bit less snow now than before, but it's fresh set snow, so you can see where you've been. Now that's when we notice the first thing that seems odd. There's no footsteps here. Literally nobody's been here, no animal or anything, so that leads us both to have one question. where did this person go? And how did they get there? Because we're very certain that we've just followed their steps, but there are none to follow. There's no animals, nothing. So we're both a little confused here, but think it's probably just nothing and we're just overthinking. I'm getting a lot more worried now, and we both continue on, cautiously. Now this part of the path actually opens up a lot more, and again, there's no signs of footsteps anywhere, which is really bizarre, because usually you should be able to track something in the snow if it's following your path, and whatever this person is, they were definitely following our path, or at least walking on the same one. And there's no tracks anywhere that you think a normal person would walk. That's when we're thinking maybe it's an animal. And there are actually some strange Norwegian folklore tales about these kinds of things, but I don't know. I never thought they were much more than just that, I guess, but maybe I was wrong. Now my mind flashes back to the time that I played with that ghost child, and I start to get a little worried. From this specific point that we're standing, we can actually see a lot further ahead, and we both stop for a moment. You can just about make out some kind of black figure, really far off, quite high up on, not really a mountain, but a high-hilled area, kind of floating along the top. It's moving left to right very quickly, and we both look at each other again, just to see if we're actually seeing the same thing. At first I thought it was a bird, but there's no wings flapping at all, or anything. It's like, almost as though you got something on a large cable dragging it left and right, but not moving like that. And suddenly, it disappears again over the ridge. Now, we're not sure what we've just seen, but we know it doesn't look right at all. Now we're a little bit worried. Once again, this thing is up ahead, basically in the exact position that we need to go to, but somewhat miles away almost. It's quite hard to describe, but it's like it's skipped much further ahead of us, but we can still see where it is roughly. We now walk even slower, very confused on what we're seeing, thinking maybe it's something that has a logical explanation. Maybe it's some kind of bag or even a kite or something stuck up in the trees that's just going back and forth. Maybe it's an animal in the trees that we're not sure about. But every step we take is further confirmation of the fact that this isn't what we saw, because there's nothing in the trees. Everything's so perfectly still and quiet. The only sound, if any, is random clumps of snow falling off the tree branches once they get too heavy. But none of the snow is disturbed. All of it remains undisturbed, so there's definitely something up now. Every few moments we have to stop and try and figure out what we're looking at. This goes on for a good few minutes, until we can see something just ahead of the bridge that we have to cross on. It's a black figure again. We both stare at it intensely, and decide to duck down into the snow just to stay out of sight and hide behind some of the trees. We have to investigate this thing before it knows what we are, and in a prone position, I slowly crawl my way along the snow, trying my best not to be seen with my friend behind me. This thing does not move, I'm not kidding with you. It literally stays perfectly in its position, not even flinching at anything. I say to myself, God, what are we dealing with here? And what's worse is nightfall isn't really that far away. I continue crawling forwards on my belly, getting a little bit cold, until I've realised that this is just a tree. It's no longer alive, but God, it looked like that thing we saw before. Not sure if we just saw a tree, or what to think. We both proceed somewhat cautiously, walking at a more relaxed pace now, thinking maybe, just maybe, there's something to explain all of this. We get closer and closer to it, and yes, it's just a normal tree with nothing to worry about. We stop for a moment and look up towards the ridgeline. There's nothing there. There's nothing in the trees. It's then confirmed in our minds that whatever we have seen is actually not this tree. Ah, if only it was that simple. And we press onwards. Now, we're probably only about 15 minutes from where we need to get to be in the last clearing to get back to the car, and I'm starting to feel a lot more confident. We actually start to joke about what we've just seen, and I realise there's a path that we can take that's basically a shortcut. I explain this to my friend, and he's actually up for the idea, looking forward to getting back warm again and into safety. My friend agrees, and we both go to the right following this path. Now, as we're walking, my friend notices something that seems odd. There's kind of like a blur up ahead of us, just through the trees, the same height as the thing before, but different. We both then come to a stop, and it stops too. Okay, we're definitely looking at something now. It's almost like a disturbance in the air, if that makes sense. I look at my friend and he looks at me. I then look up at the sky and my friend nods at me. We have to get back before it's dark and gets too cold and treacherous. But that means we have to go up to this thing. Now, we can actually see the exact area that we stopped at before when I told my first story, and it seems to be over there. I checked and I had everything with me, so I know it was nothing that I left there. But how could it be anything I've left there? This thing doesn't look normal at all. We start to proceed once again, very cautiously, as the silent snows falls around us. This thing is definitely set in place, and it's almost like a bit of distorted glass sitting there. We keep looking around, periodically checking that nothing's tracing our steps or following us, and luckily there was nothing. You can also see that the path had been trodden on not too long ago, which is reassuring. But it's hard to say how long ago this was, really. Maybe it's just from somebody who was walking through on a hike and gone back to their car, but I guess we won't know. So we continue onwards. We make it closer and closer to this thing, and that's when I realise there's another. There's two of these kind of like, I don't know how you guys would say, but maybe like blur, just there, perfectly still. There's two large trees that I can use for cover, so I decide to slowly go up to this and poke my head around to investigate more. Again, looking at my friend to confirm what I'm seeing is actually real, he nods at me once again, and we realise that whatever this thing is definitely not moving and it does have a friend. Thinking maybe it's a man-made thing, I actually relax a lot and start to proceed over to it. With every step I get closer to it, I feel more and more like I'm being watched, which is really bizarre because I didn't have this the whole time we were out here. Even during the time that we saw that other thing earlier, I did not feel like anyone was here with us. But why am I suddenly feeling so now? And I have this nervousness that I can't really shake, and it's something that I haven't experienced for a long time before. It's almost like a person standing there in front of me, but I can see through them. Maybe, just maybe, this is some kind of spirit or ghost I'm confronted with. Maybe it's that young boy that I'd played with when I was much younger, coming back once again. I've heard about spirits following people, so maybe this is what it is, and he's got more friends to play manhunt with. I'm now feeling terrified and trying my absolute best to put on a brave face so my friend doesn't realise that something's wrong, especially because he's not used to being out here, so it's really up to me to be brave now. I now come within 6 feet of this, and it looks just like a person, but it's not. I now realise that there's a few more of them. There's two more to the left of this, then another one to the right. My friend then notices another one and points at it. I get closer, and it's literally a big block of ice shaped like a person. It hasn't got many features, and it almost looks like one of those old Bible depictions that you would see from hundreds of years ago, but carved out of ice, and it's not melted at all, but it is ice. And where are the footsteps? There's no footsteps around this thing. It's literally just like it spawned in or something. And this thing's really cold. you can kind of see some mist coming off the very top of it. All of them have slightly different configurations too, which I think is really bizarre, but there's nothing I can really put it to or compare it to, if that makes sense. Now, this is by far the most surreal moments of my life. Even more bizarre and surreal than the moment that I had when I was a kid and I saw that ghost. This was completely different. It was while standing face to face with this thing, trying to figure out exactly what it is, that the feeling of being watched and being in the wrong place basically becomes unbearable. I look at my friend and say, "We have to leave," and he nods, and we both face forward and stop, taking one step at a time. I can feel the adrenaline surging through my legs now, and I feel a little bit shaky. My friend takes one last look back, and he stops me and grabs my hand. He squeezes it for me to look. I can just about see that figure once again, standing from the area that we just walked down from, just peering behind a tree very slowly. Just enough for us to know that it's actually there. Almost like it's doing it on purpose. At least I think that's what it is. I don't know if this is a person or not, but we both turn around and start sprinting. Now again, this is something I only noticed after, but there was no footsteps ahead of us as we continue onwards. We're sprinting for probably a good minute before we have to stop to go slowly over a bridge again. This doesn't make sense. This is not possible. We were there probably half an hour before, or maybe an hour at that, and there was literally nothing there. How on God's green earth could somebody have put those there without us realizing? And where would they have come from with it? We haven't seen anyone whatsoever. And where are the footsteps? It wasn't time to think about all of this. It was just time for us to get out of there. Back to safety. While we're running, the feeling of being followed is unshakable. I glance behind myself constantly and I don't see that thing again, but to be honest, I was running so quickly and so scaredly that even if it was, I probably wouldn't have noticed. And when you're running and tired, all the trees look exactly the same and it kind of just becomes like some big blur that you'll notice behind you. So we continue onwards and we eventually, thank God, make it back to the normal trail and we don't have to go much further. We eventually get back to the empty car park with only our own one there and we quickly jump in the car. I go to turn the ignition and it doesn't start. I think, God, is this truly how it all ends for me? I then try once again and thankfully the engine slowly comes to life. Now, annoyingly, we have to try and demist the window quickly before we can go, but my friend basically does this in a time that would make Usain Bolt jealous, and manages to get the thing cleared off really quick. We don't have much time to defrost the rear view one, and we peel out of there. I actually kind of lost the steering of the car for a second and thought we were going to crash, but luckily I managed to steady it and we're back on the road. Neither of us say a word to each other. We're just lost in our thoughts while we start making the 40-minute drive back to home. Now, I constantly look behind myself, half expecting that thing to be a spirit that's followed me in the car, or maybe in the bonnet, or maybe in the boot, who knows. I can't escape the feeling that we're being watched still, which is one of the weirdest parts about the drive back. We eventually make it back home, and luckily this part is uneventful for us. I drop my friend off at home, and we both look at each other and his wife says, "How was your trip?" He says, "Oh, it was great. It's too cold for camping." And he looks at me, and his look says 1,000 words.